Here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because, of course, we have with us on the line Dean Gotcher. And Dean is one of those people who has, of course, been willing to give up regular employment and, you know, a regular income and living at home. He is on the move, certainly traveling around America, about half the time, trying to educate people about what's happening in our churches, what's happening in our communities, what these concepts of consensus are, and they'll come into your community, and they'll want to get together a community meeting, and we will vision what our future is going to be, or we'll talk about it, or we want your input and planning on how to improve the community. Of course, it's basically a scam. It's called the Consensus Project. They know what the answer is going to be. It's just a matter of selling the suckers on it. Well, Dean is going to be talking today about some of the tragic things that are happening in the Christian church. Dean, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks, Dan, for having me on the show today.
Well, of course, why don't you tell us now, you're going to be speaking up in Oregon, or is it Washington?
Washington, yes.
Okay, and whereabouts?
Well, it's going to be this coming weekend in Port Orchard.
Where is Port Orchard?
That's across the bay from Seattle.
All right, fine. Is that over in the Olympic Peninsula then?
Right. It's just south of Bremerton.
All right, fine.
And that will be at the Evergreen Baptist Church, and the address is 5775 Sedgwick. That's Sedgewick Road, Southeast. And I'll be speaking Friday evening, August 22nd, from 6:30 to 9:30. And then Saturday, from 9 to 5, we're going to have Pastor John Coleman from L.A. He's Blackminster, has a church in the Watts area. He's going to be explaining what this process, I'm going to explain, the dialectic process, has done to the black culture and the church. And Bob Klink, or Dr. Robert Klink, is going to be speaking on church growth. It's going to be a full day from 9 to 5 on Saturday. It's life-changing. The church needs to hear this. There are a lot of things happening in the church that seem to be good. The Bible says there is a way that seems to be right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And so we need to be informed, and this is a life-changing conference. Anybody who sees things in the church that is troubling, you have discernment, something's wrong, but nobody's really giving you an answer, this conference is for you. You will know what the church growth really is all about.
All right, fine. Now, that is, you say south or north of Bremerton?
It is, south of Bremerton.
All right, fine. And, of course, that's a Port Orchard in the state of Washington, south of Bremerton. And it's important that people really understand. And, of course, we hear a lot about the church growth movement. And, of course, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in America was a Christian, we could get back to those Christian values that once made America really the envy of the world. We were the city on the hill. We were the hope of mankind. Well, unfortunately, that was when we had a church that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the new gospel. And just as in the last hour, I pointed out that the enemies of Christianity infiltrated us, the Christian movement, at least a century ago, through Westcott and Horth, and getting into our seminaries and undermining the basic beliefs of Christendom. So today, of course, they now have a new program. It's called Church Growth, and we'll be covering that in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and with us this afternoon is Dean Gotcher, and Dean is going to be talking up in Washington, just south of Bremerton, this coming weekend on Friday and Saturday. And if you happen to be in that area, this is in the area of Port Orchard, which is just south of Bremerton, Washington. He's going to be speaking at the... what is the name of the church again?
The Evergreen Baptist Church.
Evergreen Baptist Church, and that's in Port Orchard, 5777 Sedgwick Road. And what times will that be on Friday?
Friday I'm going to be speaking in the evening from 6:30 to 9:30, and then tomorrow, the next day, Saturday, August 23rd, I'll be sharing during the day, but we'll have two other speakers for sure, Pastor John Coleman from... the L.A. area, black minister, he teaches in a university. He understands the dialectic process and sees what it's doing to the church. And Dr. Robert Klink, an orthopedic surgeon, is going to be explaining the church growth. Rick Warren, he goes into Rick Warren's purpose-driven church, his material purpose-driven life. He takes quotes and shows you exactly, lining them up with Scripture, why there's a problem now that the church is... facing.
And of course, you point out, of course, that the church growth movement is sweeping America. But of course, with that, aren't they changing the gospel? Aren't they changing the teaching of the church?
The whole issue comes down to who's defining terms. The problem with man is that we define terms through our feelings. In fact, God flooded the world. He said the imagination of men's hearts are evil continuously before the flood, and then after the flood, evil from his youth. Thinking through our feelings or our compassion, God says our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's why we have to trust in Him with all our heart. And so it's the heart issue. Socialism and communism is a heart issue. The whole agenda with the end was world peace. And very clear of what Scripture tells us about the end days, that there will be a cry for peace. But that peace is from man's heart. And once we decide what is right and wrong, according to man's heart, we have moved away from putting our heart upon the Lord. And it's a subtle change, but it has a major effect on who we are, where we came from, and where we're going. It has an eternal effect. And the whole church growth program has moved us from a way of looking at the Word. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. There is a right way of looking at the Word of God, and there is a wrong way of looking at the Word of God. There is a structure, and I talk in the meetings about structure. There is a didactic structure. In other words, you're looking for right and wrong.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there for just a moment. We've got to add one more station, and we'll be right back with Dean. All right. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest today, Dean Gotcher, and we're talking about, of course, the meeting is going to be holding up in Bremerton, Washington, and it's going to be this weekend. It's going to be it's south of Bremerton in a place called Port Orchard, Washington, at the Evergreen Baptist Church on Sedgwick Road. And if you want to get the exact address, we can get that for you later, or you can give us a call and we'll tell you. That's 5777 Sedgwick Road, both Friday evening from 6:30 to 9:30, and certainly all day on Saturday. But, of course, Dean is one of the people who really has a clear understanding of the attack on Christendom today. So, basically, why don't you sort of pick up the story from there? My understanding is that there is a move to unite all of the Baptist churches into one major movement to make Christianity more relevant to the population and to society. So everybody will, of course, want to come to church.
Yeah, the agenda, the outcome is that everybody is unity. Unity is the agenda. Everybody's united. But the structure that's being used or the procedure being used is dialectic and not didactic. And didactic is simply teaching the facts. The Scripture says, go ye therefore and teach and teach and teach. You do not dialogue facts. You teach facts. You don't dialogue truth. You teach truth. I'm not saying there isn't a place for dialogue, but when you know what is, remember we had a president who was confused about what is, and that by the way, that structure of thought that he represents is dialectic. In other words, human relationship. When you start to think through your feelings, in other words, what I say, is it going to offend the other person? How can I rearrange what I'm going to say so that I don't offend the other person? The whole focus is on relationship. That's dialectic thinking. And the church has moved away from teaching the Word of God. The Word of God is an offense. It offends us. The Lord chastens those he loves. He corrects and rebukes. And we as Christians are to do the same thing. So we turn to the Word of God as our source and speak it as the Lord has given us to speak. The problem with church growth is it is focusing upon interpreting the Word of God and the purpose of the church through human feelings, through our heart, through our desire to relate with one another, which means we have to learn how to compromise. And I point out in meetings that there's different ways of looking at love. God's definition of love is no compromise. He loves you and he loves me, but he's not going to move one inch from his position for any one of us.
But of course, haven't they really changed the character of God? In other words, he's no longer a God of judgment or justice or even a God of vengeance on those, of course,
right,
who've turned against him. He simply has one attribute, and that is love.
But see, that love then is compromise. For the God of the Bible to relate with the religions of the world or the way man thinks, because man thinks, we all think through our definition of love is compromise. We know somebody loves us because they're willing to compromise. And so our worldview, our paradigm, our way of looking at the world is built or seen through our lens. And when we take that lens and we turn to the Word of God and we turn to the definitions and we reinterpret the Word of God based upon human relationship, we're not using the structure that God has given us. And that's what didactic that I talk about is not holy, but it's the only structure that God speaks through. There is no gray zone with God. There's no ambiguity. There's no confusion with God. The confusion is with man.
And of course, somebody once said that if God is only love, then it is the ultimate triumph of evil, because there is no reason really to be good. After all, we're never going to be punished. We have nothing to fear. You know, if God loves us, we can do whatever we want to. But at one time, God was something you looked at with awe. You looked at with fear. You would look at as a parent, who was in charge of you. No longer is that really the way it is. Would you?
The dialectic, and Bloom in his taxonomy education talks about three ways of thinking. There's the translation. In other words, you literally translate from what a prior source to another, literally what the author is saying. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to the Word of God and what is it saying? Doesn't matter how I feel or what I think, which means a lot of times we really don't know, but there it is. We accept it for what it says. Now, the transition is interpretation. In other words, I start putting my feelings in. I'm trying to re-idiomize the Word of God. Instead of giving you a literal, I put it in a little different context with the desire that you come to understand it. But I am changing the meaning of the Word of God. Extrapolating, which is dialectic, is I'm going to pick and choose scriptures that will support my desired outcome. What's being left out in church growth is it's the wrath of God is against the children of disobedience. And we serve a God of wrath. He is a pure and a holy and a righteous God. And you're going to hear the church growth minister saying that from the pulpit. But you see the policy in the churches, you see it in Sunday school, you see it in the cell groups. We're going to open up, if you have a translation, literal, you have translation, which is, and we then have a facilitator, and the social psychologists refer to a facilitator as a heresy RA. So when your minister says, well, I'm going to facilitate in church growth, raise your hand and say, oh, we're going to practice heresy. Those are synonymous. You cannot facilitate truth. You teach truth. You manipulate through. Facilitation is an act of manipulation. You're going to manipulate people from looking to the Word of God as is to starting to look around the room and saying, how can I interpret the Word of God in such a way that I don't offend others in the room. And the language you're going to hear is from the front, they're going to ask you, how do you feel about this verse? What do you think about this verse? Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus turn to anyone and ask them how they feel or what they think. That moves us to a humanistic, rationalistic outcome. And so it's the language that is the key. Jesus turned to Peter and said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? In other words, like the old Dragnet show, Sergeant Friday, just the facts, ma'am. And so we have done what they call a paradigm shift. This isn't only in government that was a school of work. It's not only in education, which was Goals 2000. This structure isn't only in the workplace called Total Quality Management. It's the very same structure being used in the military, Total Quality Leadership, the very same structure with the doctors, the HMOs, the very same structure with the police, came in with the DARE program and the 100,000 policemen. But Clinton was talking about the 100,000 policemen, which was is the COPS program. It is now in the church. The very same structure of thinking through our feelings or the imagination of the heart. It's bad enough to have government do this. It's bad enough to have education and the workplace doing this. But how can the church move from rock foundation over to this shifting sand, relativistic, humanistic, globalistic, let's all get along to get along? The word witness comes from the Greek word martyrius. If you want to be a witness for God, you cannot base your relationship with one another here on earth based upon your feelings. You have to, as a Christian, to be a witness, base your relationship upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, you're no longer driven by how people feel or think about you. You're driven because it is the Lord who has instructed you in His Word and through His Spirit to share the truth. If ministers, and they're in church growth being trained to do this, they're evaluating, they're taking polls. The new Bible says, go therefore and take polls and surveys. In other words, find out how people feel and what they think, and then shape ministry around human desires, which are the lust of the flesh, physiological needs, lust of the eyes, those are self-esteem needs, according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and then Rick Warren's, the purpose of life. What is the purpose of life? That we get along, that we relate, that we love.
But isn't this really a very, very successful? Doesn't this work much better than the old-fashioned method of everybody talking about a God of judgment? We really don't want to know that we're sinners. We don't want to feel convicted when we leave church. We want to feel good about ourselves. Isn't this new approach really much more successful in getting people into the church?
Absolutely. The Bible says that they will have acquire teachers that tickle their ears, and we're seeing this full force. This is everywhere across this nation, and it's around the world. The church has bought into it. Like I said earlier, it's bad enough that the world does this. It is now becoming the very structure of thought, the way thought policy is set, the direction that the church uses, or the policy or procedure the church uses to set policy and solve problems. We have shifted from turning to the Word of God as an is document into a dialogue, let's get along document. The final stage, purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life by Rick Warren, it is laced, its whole girding is through looking at crisis and resolving it through our relationship with God. The crisis we face are resolved in Christ. When Jesus faced a crisis in the temptation, he had physiological needs, turned the stone into bread, and his response was not, let me think about this, how do you feel about this? He didn't find a group. He didn't find a group to find a consensus, which means with feelings or sensation. No, he said, it is written. Doesn't matter how I feel or what I think. It is written. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's where Rick Warren and Bill Hybels and Church Growth have missed it. They're excluding Scripture because they're only going to pick Scripture that make everybody feel fuzzy and warm and approved and part of the team for the desire of unity and outcome.
Now, who is Peter Drucker, and where does he fit into this whole thing?
Peter Drucker, a globalist, general systems, systemic change. They look at the globe as a living organism. Everything within the environment is interconnected, and the desire is that it become a living entity, and he is one of the big gurus in the church growth.
And, of course, he has really figured out a means of packaging Christianity like a cake of soap, because it sells a lot better. And when you can sell soap, you can sell Christianity. And of course, you sell soap, there's a profit. You sell Christianity, why the church grows and profits from it. And, well, we're bringing everybody in, of course. But, of course, what about the eternal soul? We're going to be back here in just a moment or two. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Dean Gotcher, and I hope you'll enjoy the program. I know I will.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened to TWA 800 on the way down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Robinson, titled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV or order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV or now.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently why the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract. You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention the Big Berkeys, which we carry. We carry both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. The Big Berkey is available in every state, but California and Iowa, the Berkey Light is available in every state but Iowa. And, of course, the Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. The Berkey Light is made of Lexan, which is a clear material that's being used in bulletproof glass, so it's not going to crack on you if you drop it. And then, of course, Big Berkey has a ceramic filter filled with carbon. The Black Berkey has a black filter, and it really works more efficiently, very, very efficiently, but it has to be changed every 2 to 4 years, whereas the Big Berkey filters can be actually cleaned, and you can clean them yourselves. Both items, if you want to get fluoride out, you have to get the post filters to put on the bottom. Of course, the Berkey Light will take out MTPE. You have to get a post filter. You have a Big Berkey. They're both excellent. Why don't you go to our website at radioliberty.com? That's radioliberty.com. You can see pictures of them. Hopefully, you'll find one that you like. And then give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the Berkey filters. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course with us is Dean Gotcher, and we're talking about what's happening in our society today. You know, if you look at society and you look at what's happening, and you realize, of course, that society is a reflection of the influence of the church, because we are the last Christian nation in the world. At one time, of course, England was a Christian nation. It's a post-Christian nation. Certainly Europe was a Christian. It was the home of the Protestant Reformation and certainly of the Catholic Church. And now, why, of course, the churches are empty. There are more mosques in southern France, and there are people, there are churches and far more people in the mosques than in the Christian churches, both Protestant and Catholic. So Christianity, of course, has left Europe But America is the bulwark, and how would you destroy it? Well, not from without, not by the Supreme Court. In fact, most people are incensed by what the Supreme Court is doing. Their decisions, most people inherently know, are anti-Christian. And the reason is, of course, they've packed our Supreme Court with people who hate Christianity. And, of course, we know that between 1941 and 1971, the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court. But if you go and ask your minister that, he'll never tell you that, or he doesn't know that to be a fact because no one has ever told him. And yet the people who belong to a secret society that worships a different god and they've sworn blood oaths controlled our Supreme Court, and subsequently they've been putting more and more people in there who hate Christianity and even hate America. Now they're going to Europe to look at their constitution, determine how they should decide their decisions here. But, of course, what is the church doing? Why isn't the church addressing the problems of our time? Because, of course, the church has changed its message, and that's what Dean is talking about. So you pick up the story from there, Dean.
The process I explained, dialectic, is simply, again, thinking through our feelings. And God flooded the world because man thought through his feelings, the imagination of the heart. And it is oasis, working through our heart. And the heart is where we're deceived. We're not deceived because somebody came in the room and lied to us. There's great deception going on in the church today. It's not because people, the discerning people are sensing in spirit there's something wrong, but most people are deceived because who is coming in the room is likable. We are deceived because we like the person. And the church growth is built upon training people to go into, to get into leadership position and make themselves likable, and then people follow. It's built on human relationships.
Is it also built on friendship, that if you have, what, five friends in the
right.
church, you're not going to leave it no matter what happens?
Right. And see, I'm not against unity, but you see in Scripture, unity is built on doctrine. It's not built upon just following people we like. And Jesus was unbecoming. There is all through Scripture those who are just irritating people who simply come in and present the Word of God, present the truth, and they're not concerned about how people feel or what they think. When a minister, or if anyone serving the Lord, is concerned about how people feel or think about them in sharing the truth, you cannot serve the Lord. If your life is guided by how people feel or think about you, you cannot serve the Lord. You serve the Lord because your eyes and your heart is upon the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens to me. What happened to the early church? What happened to the prophets? What happened to the apostles? They learned to stand alone in truth. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can stand alone. It's not that you desire to stand alone or you want to stand alone. It's very clear that two or three are to gather in. When they gather in His name, and the purpose of gathering is in His name, not for the unity. Unity is a byproduct. The purpose-driven church that is being sold today is that our purpose is for one another. And I surprise people in meetings. I say, yeah, I hope you understand that tonight I'm going to surprise you that I am not here for you. And I hope you're not here for me. I am here for the Lord. And I hope you're here for the Lord. Because if I like you, I'm going to compromise all over the place to keep the relationship going. And this is the shift. We have now moved our purpose away from us. We are created for God's good pleasure. We are created to serve and to seek Him at all costs, whatever it costs. This is the message that Luther was presenting. This is the message that the early church was presenting. Put everything aside for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is, what can I get out of this? What kind of a buzz? What kind of a, how many friends? How much relationship? How much fun? How much bonding can I do in this process? This dialectic process has moved us away from seeking truth to now focusing on compromising truth for the sake of a relationship.
And it's really, you're often asked, how do you feel about this scripture? Now, you've read the scripture, this is what it says. How do you feel about it, or what do you think it says?
Right.
You know, and of course, instead of, saying this is what it says, because that's the purpose of the teacher, we want to get everybody's input into an understanding so we can all, come to consensus. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, and we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1 and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention several of the other things we carry. One of them, of course, is called Phonopoly, and it is a board game played like Monopoly, but it's really designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, how to, of course, to read phonetically, because that's the key to reading, and not teaching that in our schools, and they're deliberately dumbing down our children. And I don't care what the governor of the state of California says about the scores going up. Kids aren't getting smarter. They're simply dumbing down the test to make things look good. But you can counter that, and in 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that has been done to your child or your grandchild. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Phonopoly. And, of course, it's 5 board games, 2 bonus games. We throw in a couple of books to explain the diabolical purpose behind the dumbing down of the American children. And that's called Phonopoly. And give us a call right now. Then, of course, we want to mention the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them. But I will tell you that the people who use them make wonderful, wonderful claims. And they tell us how it helps them as far as their rashes and acne and so many things. And all you can do is try them and see if they'll help you. The neutralizer. People tell us it helps the upper intestinal tract doing away with heartburn or their bowels. But, of course, you're just going to have to try it and see if it'll help you. I know I use the moisturizing soap. I wouldn't be without the gel. And if you have an area that hurts and you rub some of that on there, I don't know why it works, but it really does. If you'd like to know more about it, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com or certainly we ask you to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a little pamphlet. Or better still, why not order an introductory offer if you do? I can promise you, you really won't be sorry. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Dean Gotzer. We're talking about certainly the purpose-driven church, this new movement which is sweeping Christendom today. And, of course, we're packaging Christianity. We're getting the people into the church, and we're making them feel good about themselves. And, of course, there's Robert Schuller, who really is one of the driving forces behind this, says, "I would never tell anybody they're a sinner." Well, if we're not all sinners saved by grace, why did Christ come to earth? And, of course, they don't want to answer that question because, of course, that means, of course, we need a Savior. And, of course, we're not sinners. We don't need a Savior. They want us to feel good about ourselves. And, of course, that's the reason that we have such a sinful world today. We've got Steve calling from Orange County. How are you doing, Steve?
Oh, great.
Have a question or comment?
I have a question. I mean, I have somebody that I've tried to tell about this church growth and all this new way of doing church for some time, and they keep on coming back with things, well, like, well, you're not showing love and mercy and grace.
Now, let's see how, of course, our guest Dean can answer that. What do you say when people say, well, you know, you're being critical, you're not showing love, and you shouldn't be critical of what's happening? I mean, look at the success of the churches.
The word tolerance everywhere today. I tell people the word tolerance is not going to show up on the day of judgment. God is not tolerant. He is patient, but he's not tolerant. And so we have, you know, the whole, I understand grace, but you don't understand grace until the commercial, I'll give an example, the commercial says you deserve a break today. Until you realize you don't deserve a break today, you deserve nothing. you do not understand God's grace and mercy and love. How do we come to the realization that we really deserve nothing? By the law of God. God is perfect. It reveals to us, His law reveals to us that we will not make it apart from His mercy and grace. Otherwise, we will simply continue to justify our fallen nature, and we can cover it with all the scripture you want. Satan's good at that. This is what the church has said, well, we live under grace, so we don't need the law. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He fulfills it. When we look to Christ, it is fulfilled, but the law is not negated. This dialectic calls it negation of negation. Let's get rid of the negative. Let's just focus on the positive. And by doing that, we come up with a new gospel. How can you have good news when you don't know what the bad news is? You're in illusion. And it's not that the law was bad news. The law, well, it was to you and me because it revealed to us eternal damnation. But because the church now is focusing on feelings, which is consensus, with sensation, with feelings, not conscience. Conscience means with science, with thou shalt not. It's a fact, it's a truth, it's a law. It's the negative, it's the thou shalt not that bring us to the understanding of who God is and who we are and why we do not match up, why we cannot truly, in illusion we might say we're God, but we are not God. And so when the church has bought into this, let's get along, mushy-feely, men get in touch with their feminine side, which I tell, you're seeing this in the church. When a man gets in touch with his feminine side, in other words, the desire to relate, which is matriarch, and get along, what you have found is a pervert. This is why the church is now fully involved in ordaining homosexuals. Apostasy. God calls it an apostasy. And those who are in church growth, they might say, oh, our church will never do that. When the homosexuals come to the meetings and they try to justify their behavior, they use this dialectic process. I'm going to explain at this conference. The very same pattern. They use it to justify it. It's the same justification I'm getting from the ministers in church growth. It's the same justification you're getting from your friends. The justification that we all need to get along.
All right, fine. Steve, I would just simply, we have a great 4-tape set on the apostate church you can get through Radio Liberty, but I would ask these people if they have a fear of God. And anybody who doesn't have a fear of God, if they don't hold God in awe, if they just believe that, of course, God is nothing but love, I would simply point out that that is the ultimate triumph of evil.
Yeah, that song from the early 40s, Accentuate the Positive.
Yeah.
It's a great song, but...
But, of course, the first great awakening that occurred in 1740 was when Jonathan Edwards went from town to town in the colonies talking about a sinner in the hands of an angry God.
Yes.
Can you imagine any minister today talking about an angry God? Oh, no.
No.
God loves everybody. Thanks so much, Steve. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
A couple questions. They use the term purpose-driven. Do they ever state what that purpose is?
Your mission, it is focusing upon our purpose in life is for one another. It's for relationship with one another. That sounds good. I'm not saying that relationship isn't a part of our life. God said it is not good that man be alone. But when he confronted Adam, he said, why did you hearken to the voice of your wife? In other words, he was saying, why did you let human relationship usurp the relationship you are to have with me?
Mm-hmm.
When your relationship is before the Lord, it doesn't matter how anybody feels or thinks. It matters that you share the truth with them. And that's, I'm not trying to be hard in this. I'm not saying there isn't a desire for need for unity. We are to strive for peace and unity, but not at the expense of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else?
The labyrinth. And do you know anything about the use of the labyrinth at Saddleback and Rick Warren's promotion of it?
I don't, but Bob Klink, Dr. Robert Klink, has researched the church growth. I talk about process, just the structure. And at first I was just dealing with education, and then people were calling me. I get all the calls now from, wow, this is what we're doing in our church. And that's such bad news because, see, the dialect, this structure I explain, is the heart and soul of globalism, communism, UN, it is the heart and soul of the worship of man. And for the church to pick this structure up, now I'm not saying ministers will preach a good sermon from the pulpit. It's the way the church is being administrated. They have moved over to, and in the meetings I take time to explain, in Scripture, Satan's structure that he used on Eve in the garden is the very same structure that Rick Warren and Bill Hybels are using in the church. You can't do it, and they're doing it.
I think the labyrinth, of course, Mike, has to do with feelings. What you're looking for is an emotional experience rather than the fear of the Lord. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I'm doing the homework, and I'd like it if we could do an hour.
All right, you give me a call off the air, and we'll do it. Thanks so much.
Well, there's one other thing. We have to remember that these churches are corporations, and therefore they're agents of the state. And when they take out the doctrine of sin, they also wipe out the doctrine of the crucifixion and of the resurrection.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all. Thanks.
No question there. Let's go to Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. Yes, I'm referring in my question here to three groups of people, our homeless and our disenfranchised here in the richest country on the face of the earth in history, and our troops over there who are dying, being picked off every day for Chevron Oil Incorporated of the Bush family of Texas. Now tell me, sir, where is the God of love for these people and us, the taxpayer, who aren't getting the largesse of the raping of the treasury going on right now as we speak, sir? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
A little off the subject, but I will tell you that we, of course, are going to be judged, and our nation is going to be judged for what we have done. We've undertaken an imperial position. We're moving towards an empire. And in the name of course, helping the Iraqi people, what has happened, I mean, it's total chaos there. But, of course, this is what happens when a nation turns against God. And I believe, of course, the current policies of both political parties have nothing to do with a Christian agenda at all. I believe, of course, we are moving towards a new world order, a new world religion. And, of course, we have people who pretend to be Christians, but you look and see what they do, and you look and see if they're telling the truth. And when people get up and say one thing, and it's not true, and they say, oh, shucks, well, I just didn't know what I was doing. Does it matter really whether it's Bill Clinton who's saying, well, it really it depends on what you say is, or perhaps they may even be a Republican who gets up and says things that he knows are not true, or maybe doesn't even know that they're not true. He just says what he's being told to say. I don't think it really matters. I think that we will be judged for what we do, and unfortunately, the people who control both political parties have an entirely different agenda, but that's a little off the subject from where we are today. So you pick it up from there, Ben. I mean, Dean.
What's happening politically is dialectic. It is a quest for world peace, and the love of money is the root of all evil. The purpose for world peace is to sustain society. They call it continuous improvement, sustainable development. It is to maintain a consistency so people can be established in relationships. So that's the direction we're going. That is anathema. That is opposite of what God did. Tower of Babel was world peace. God broke up the Tower of Babel. We are restoring. It's interesting. Saddam Hussein would never have allowed nations of the world to cross his territory to go to attack Israel. We, the United States, have actually prepared the ground for the nations of the world to cross Iraq to attack Israel. I mean, it's as though everything we're doing as a nation is preparing the judgment of the nations. We are involved in the very, it's as though God has taken a hook and hooked our jaws and is dragging us. And the leadership thinks they're really doing this for good, when in reality, they're just simply preparing God's judgment, or he's going to use this to bring his judgment upon the nations.
I fear that he's going to bring judgment upon this nation because
Absolutely.
The good people are not speaking out.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Will you go ahead, because we've only got about 6 minutes left before we have to turn into pumpkins. So just continue developing the idea, because I think this is so important that people understand that we're told in the latter days there'll be a great falling away from the scriptures, a great falling away from the beliefs of Christianity, and of course I believe that includes the fear of God. And now, of course, we have a Christianity where everybody feels good about themselves, and of course we've changed the music of the church, And, of course, we've done away with many of the great old hymns. But we've got a beat there that really gets right underneath your skin. And I've even seen people sort of dancing in the aisles of some of the church as the enthusiasm of the music begins to pick up and the tempo begins to pick up and the beat of the music. And people don't understand music is being used to
right.
change our relationship
right.
to God as well, isn't it?
Right, and the whole structure of manipulation, and that I was actually caught in a church. I was an elder in a church that was doing this, and music was a big key of it. It's not that these things are necessarily bad in themselves. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. The church has moved from agape. Agape is the love that of worship of God, of music, of praise before Him, to eros. We now worship ourselves in the worship, ourselves in the music, ourselves and. And it's all blows. If I can sum this up with language, because this is the whole thing. God created the world with words. Tower of Babel with communication skills change. We have restored a globalist communication. We have moved from the verb is, which God said, I am that I am. Pardon the grammar, gets the point across. I is that I is. And another word he presents to us, thou shalt not. Those are the two words that give us identity from God. His identity is, and our identity is, limits. Thou shalt not. We have moved to the rebellion language of ought to be. Anytime you hear an ought to be, an is under attack. The child says, well, I ought to be able to go out. And so the role of the facilitator is to get everybody share. Well, we ought to be able to get along. Why aren't we getting along? Well, so-and-so over there keeps quoting those scriptures that irritate the rest of us, and we're all supposed to be in love, and they're always bringing up that God of judgment. And then finally, because that's only transition and society or the church or any organization cannot stay in ought to be very long, because that's just eventually you go into this mush of anxiety. You have to go either back to the authority of God's word, or you move ahead to the dialectic seems to be. In other words, that's, well, what do you think? Well, I think, well, it seems to be. This is called theory. That today, even our director of education under President Bush said we must bring theory closer to practice. In other words, we need to learn how to communicate in theory. We really don't know, so quit coming into the room and telling the rest of us that what you say is right, and which makes us the rest of us wrong, which hurts our feelings. And Karl Marx said the philosophers have all come into the room with many different points of view. The objective, however, is to change. Let's just practice change. Let's just practice getting along. Let's just practice compromise. And quit insisting on going to the Word of God and stating it over and over with its one position. The Christians were called psychopaths in the Soviet Union. The Christian today is going to be called rocking the boat, negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, low-order thinker, maladjusted, unadaptable to change for the very same reason. Because they come into the church today and they quote the Word of God as is, and people turn to them and ask them how they feel and what they think, and they say, it doesn't matter how I feel or what I think. Here is the Word of God. We're accountable to it.
You know, you were pointing out, of course, that people don't want to hear this, thou shalt not. And, of course, that's one of the big disadvantages of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And I was just thinking of what the Supreme Court said. And the Supreme Court said in the case of Stone versus Brunner, I believe it was, in 1980, and this is what he said, if the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey the commandments. This is not a permissible stated objective under the Establishment Clause.
Right.
In other words, we should not tell our children, thou shalt not. And of course, where is the outcry from the church against the Supreme Court that is taking God's limitations away from our children? They don't want our children to have any limitations. They want a generation of young people who have no standards at all. And look, of course, where it has led us.
The church is doing the same thing the church did in Germany. It compromised God's word for the sake of approval and recognition by men. You cannot do it. You will pay the price. And it's deceptive because the heart is deceitful. The liking of people, what Paul said, he said, may God be the truth and all men liars. You first evaluate. You first find out whether this person's really speaking the truth. And then you decide whether you want to embrace. Today it is embrace everything that comes in the room and then step back and evaluate. You cannot evaluate through your feelings. You cannot evaluate through desire for human relationship. This is why God tells you to go into the closet by yourself before Him. This is why He sent the prophets out into the desert Church Growth is not doing that. Church Growth is, they might artificially do that just to impress people, but the reality is we make decisions in the group. Consensus means with feelings, with compromise. We need a church that is led by confirmation. In other words, you go to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit bears witness and confirmation to the Word, and we live and we preach the Word of God.
Amen to that. Well, unfortunately, we seem to find that that isn't really as popular as it used to be. And I heard a very prominent minister recently say, well, 50 years ago we used to talk about hell, but hell doesn't sell very well anymore. And I wonder, of course, as I heard that, what are we selling? Certainly there's far more about hell than about heaven in the New Testament, but we're going to only tell people what they want to hear? And I think this is why we're in trouble today. Well, Dean, we're out of time. God bless you. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, again, if anyone can make the conference in Port Orchard, Washington, coming up this Friday at 6:30, 9:30, and Saturday from 9 to 5 all day at the Evergreen Baptist Church. You know anyone in the area, give them a call and tell them to head on over. They're going to have a life-changing understanding of this process that's devastating the church.
Amen to that, and really, it will be a life-changing thing. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you'd like, of course, to understand really the Supreme Court's decisions taking prayer out of our schools, you need to get a book we have. It's called Original Intent by David Barton. It's a must read. In fact, that quotation I just gave from Stone versus Bruner, 1980, by the Supreme Court is there, and so many other quotations that will help you to understand that the Supreme Court was taken over by men who hated America. And, of course, they continue to be there. And, of course, why doesn't the church demand these people be impeached? You know, Congress at any time, according to the Constitution, can limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, and our religious leaders refuse to take a stand in that position. Oh, we've got to go along and get along. We don't want to be controversial. And if you are controversial, you can be sure you'll be attacked by ABC, CBS, NBC, and both the Wall Street Journal and, of course, the New York Times and the Washington Post, because they're all controlled by the same people. And if you haven't yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to read it. You need to get the Brotherhood of Darkness specials. You need to get the information. You need to understand what's going on today, and they're available by calling us.